Namaskar. Welcome to the Passionate Pulse podcast, where we delve into inspiring stories that resonate deeply with our audience. Today, we are thrilled to host the visionaries behind the True Karma platform. This extraordinary non-profit venture stands out for its innovative approach to crowdfunding, donations, and event hosting, offering a seamless integration of various funding elements. While numerous platforms exist in the crowdfunding and donation space, True Karma distinguishes itself through its unique structure. True Karma is a game changer, providing users and hosts with significant tax benefits and unparalleled flexibility for effective tax planning, allowing them to contribute their time and resources to volunteering efforts. It empowers users to plan their time and financial commitments strategically across various aspects of life. Join us as we delve into intricacies of True Karma with its technical founder Sandeep Bhatnagar and its co-founder, the heart of the operation, Nandita Bhatnagar. Nandita ji, a remarkable community service provider and a compassionate individual, has translated her dedication into the practical advancement of True Karma. Sandeep ji, the tech expert, has intricately woven these threads together to create a fabric that enriches the society. Together, we unfold the inspiring journey of True Karma, how it came to life, and why platforms like these are indispensable in today's world. We explore the significance of purpose-driven startups, shedding light on how they can shape a better society and set exemplary standards for generations to come. Tune in to discover the essence of True Karma and the impactful role of purpose-driven initiatives in fostering transparency and meaningful connections.
Namaste.
Namaste. So nice to meet you.
Thank you, Nandita, for sharing your time with us. Mm-hmm. And we are very much eager to understand about the True Karma. And to start with, basically, what triggered you and Sandeep ji, your better half, to start True Karma as a crowdfunding platform?
So the funny part is, the True Karma didn't really start off as a crowdfunding platform. We had no intention of going and doing that. What we were doing is, because as you mentioned in your introduction, we have been part of a community for a long time, living in the same area for almost 23, 24 years now. And so we do a lot of community service, which we don't always track. We do a lot of volunteering. We do a lot of donations. And when the time comes for your, when you go to your CPA and you say, here is my tax information for this last year, a lot of this is just gone. All of us do donate, like spring cleaning, we give the warm coat drive and all these things, which we never track. You go to Goodwill stores, you don't track all that. So we started to create something there where we can track our donations, our volunteer time, our volunteer expenses. Started like that. Then we said, okay, because we are volunteering and donating to all these organizations, maybe we should have a database of these. So we added the database of all these charitable, approved, authentic organizations that are collecting funds and doing their own fundraisers. So we started from that. Then it just became, okay, from personal experiences, finding some other people, having used other crowd sourcing platforms where they were not getting what they expected to get from it because there were some platform fees, some hidden fees that didn't make it across. So it kind of messed up their calculations. So when we saw that, we felt that maybe we can bridge this gap and what we have created so far, can we can add a fundraising event to that. And there, because it is a non-profit, we were getting a lot more benefits for the organization as well as passing it out to the users.
Yeah,
so that's how it started.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. So basically, there is a huge transparency part that you just touched base. I know there are many platforms that exist. They're, of course, for-profit. The crowd, lot of crowdfunding platforms are for-profit. So there is obvious business model that exists to have the fees extracted out. And what you listed, I can even relate to the story that lately we raised a crowdfunding for one of our patients in India. They wanted a big funds and insurance was tied up. They almost, the family became bankrupt. And then we decided to raise the funds for this particular family. And when they actually received the funds, was merely a statement that nobody could believe it. And what he was telling and what the audience was looking at, that figure had no match. And then that's where a lot of trust was broken between the family and the audience also. Because when they raised another fund for another treatment, then they were like, how can this happen? And he actually stated out the story that although there is an X amount, I still have to add this delta amount because now we understand that this much amount of fees is actually taken out by the platforms. And some of these non-negotiable terms that we say is that accepted, we actually don't look it when as a generic or as a third party person who is novice to crowdfunding,
right,
who has no clue, who is not trained enough or not working in that sector, sometimes it becomes a very different experience that we don't want to go through.
Right, exactly. Right?
So how the TrueKarma is solving that problem?
So few things in the TrueKarma is because it is a non-profit. Sandeep ji had put in a lot of time into working with the gateway fees is very minimal. So our operating expenses are very low. And everything is upfront. So when you come to the donation page and you're saying this is the amount I'm going to give you, it also tells you how much is actually being charged. So whatever the minimal fees of the transaction fees, like the PayPal or wherever you're going through, that is visible to you. So you know that if I give $100, then a portion of this, or I have added $2 to this or however much, is going towards your transaction fees. And then the other thing is the remaining part is it's free. The donor is not charged, but like there's no hidden charge on that. But if the donor wants, there's an option of giving a little bit of tip. And if the person chooses to, it's not mandatory. If the person chooses to give some percentage of the thing, then only, also then your credit card statement will have everything over there. So that's one thing. Then there's no hidden thing. It's all upfront. This is what I'm paying. This is what will go to my cause. And the rest is going towards this expense and that expense. And this is the tip. Okay. It's very clear. Periodically, we are always generating reports. So we ran recently, there was an unfortunate incident and we had to run a fundraiser for the family. And we raised almost to the tune of $470,000 for the family. And everything was given to them. Yeah. So they could keep track of it. Periodically, they could, for the duration of the fundraiser, if the person who started the fundraiser wants to know, that can you give me monthly or weekly reports? What's coming? So then they can see this is the amount that came to you. This is the amount that is going for the charge statement. Everything is very transparent. And we are very willing to share all that information with them.
So even if any of the person who is a donor on the portal is looking forward to understand how much is the actual beneficiary got, you are actually sharing those reports with the donor?
Not with the donor,
okay.
But the creator of the fundraiser. That person can understand that, okay, I created a fundraiser for, let's say, a friend. And the friend is in no condition to create it herself. I'm creating it for her. Then me, as the creator of the fundraiser, can ask TrueKarma to give me all the details and they will be shared.
Okay.
The donor will get information in an email that this is what you were charged.
Okay. So donor doesn't get the report. I mean, that's fair enough because they're not supposed to get the report as a
for whole. Everybody.
But at least they understand that the transparency is kept alive, starting with where the dollars are going. And there is one interesting fact about TrueKarma that you had shared last time, that any person, any family or any organization, for-profit, non-profit, whenever they are onboarding any campaign to TrueKarma, you are at the back end, you are thoroughly validating it and making sure that this campaign is genuine. Versus many other platforms that they are not in a position, most of them have automated it. But from TrueKarma, you are still making sure that there is a manual process that makes sure that this is getting validated in all the ends. And we are interested in hearing out why that is so, why that is needed in the times where a lot of things are already automated. It can be automated, but still you are making calls and making sure that things are, and asking some very hard questions to the creator of the crowdfunding.
Right. So if you're aware, I mean, in this today's world, we hear of the scams and the hoaxes. It's, you know, people make phone calls and get people to donate money on the phones, take their credit card information. So much is happening where there's a lot of philanthropy also that happens, right? People do have the desire to give money. But if I, as a donor, if I'm giving them money, thinking is going here, but it's not, then it's not just this loss of the money that I gave, because obviously I had enough to give. That's why I'm giving, it's my surplus money. So it's not just the loss of the money, it's the loss of the trust. The next time somebody's going to ask me for money, I'm going to be very skeptical. I may not want to open my purse again because I don't trust. Like, I don't know what happened, right? So to avoid all that, and there are many cases, like we also encountered on True Karma, somebody started a campaign.
Cool.
So we don't let them person, it doesn't go live. The minute you open it, it doesn't go live until it has been screened.
Cool.
So we are made aware that a campaign started. Somebody will look into it. And we saw the some of the images that they'd put for something. I can't get into the details of it.
Right.
But the description and the images didn't sound right. So somebody did a quick search. And it's not difficult in this digital age to do a quick search and find that the pictures were offered something that had happened 2 years ago.
Right.
So the minute you discover that, then there is a mandatory field to fill out, a phone number and a phone. Then you ask them, hey, did you do this? And is this actually true? When you put people on a spot like that, especially if it's an email where there's a digital trail, he took it down. He took the thing down. There was another campaign where we kind of, the amount they were trying to raise was really low, like $1,500 or something. So it felt really odd that why would you run a campaign on such a small amount? But they said, no, they actually do want just this amount. And they don't want to just go ask people. So it was authentic. So we do check just because of the nature and the world that we live in where there are scammers everywhere. And just as fortunately for us, there are donors also everywhere. So we want everybody to have a good experience.
Wonderful. So for-profit companies can also host their projects for the crowdfunding and also individuals who are looking for the creative projects. For example, there is a Patreon, Kickstarter. Those are like big portals. Mm-hmm. Which are creative peoples are using it to raise their funds for the book that they're writing or any project that they're establishing or any small product that they're developing and they're not at the stage of angel investing. There are also people are gathering money. Mm-hmm. So is True Karma also supporting such people and such independent creative artists?
Yes, anybody can actually open a campaign or a fundraiser for themselves on this. The benefit compared to a for-profit platform would be if, let's say I'm a painter and I want to, I have a commissioned project and I want some seed money to get my supplies to get this thing going. I can do it on a for-profit, but if my donors are such who can do the employment matching also, then that can occur on True Karma because it's a, we are registered with Benevity. So if your company, if I'm coming and asking you for money and if you work in a company that is linked to Benevity, then whatever money you're giving, it will be doubled based on your company policies.
Right.
And on top of that, so you get the company matching. And on top of that, what you can happen is you can claim tax benefits on that because you donated to a nonprofit. Versus if you had donated for a profit, then you would not been able to claim that.
Okay.
And then if you are just a user of a True Karma, where you're not doing a fundraising, but you're just a user, you could quickly document it in your dashboard that, hey, I gave $200 to this cause. And that at the end of the in a year, you could just generate a quick report and say, here are all my donations.
So this is an important fact that she actually unfolded. I'll like to explain it in a brief so that our users understand what is the benefit of opening a campaign on a nonprofit True Karma org as a crowdfunding versus on a profit. For example, if you decide to creatively fund for your book, you're writing a book and you want some funds to come in for publications and a lot of things where you are not at a position to incur from the as a bootstrap, then what happens is because you have opened a crowdfunding project on a True Karma and you are asking money, your donors are getting benefit of donating it to the nonprofit.
Right.
That generally you won't get it where you are opening, which is like very famous portals where generally the creators are raising their funds. That is where the donors are losing their tax benefit. Even like many of us have seen that, you must have donated thousands of dollars to the GoFundMe campaigns for the families who are looking forward to come out from certain sickness, the insurance is not covering the diseases, and you are helping them, pouring the money, but towards the end of the year, as an end user, I am not getting those tax benefit. Versus when you donate to the crowdfunding platform, which itself is a non-profit, that benefit is certainly availed to you, or that is easy benefit that you can still avail, and it is a win-win situation. So that is one part that she unfolded. The second part that she mentioned about the expense logging, which is very crucial. Sometimes we forget those small, small expenses and the goods that you give away. That is what you can capture it. I myself have been started using True Karma since November, actually. And I was blown away with the volunteering hours or certain services that I put forward to as a part of the nature that one conducts the life. And I understood like, oh my God, those many hours, if somebody is working in a company where a corporate sector provides the benefit of volunteering hours. There are many companies nowadays are getting into this shape where they make sure that their employees, if they're volunteering and servicing, sometimes with the kid that is growing and going for the volunteering services, parents are also involved.
Yes.
Because they also like the cause and they get involved. So those are the hours that you can actually claim back to your companies. And this is where that record logging can come into the handy mode.
Mm-hmm.
So these are like very important aspects as a donor that or as a volunteer, whoever is interested in, that it gets logged. And also probably for someone who wants to design the life, like this is the beginning of the year and many people want to design their hours and make sure that some of you who are looking forward that community service is a part of your goal where you want to make a consistent effort, then this can come in handy piece to you.
Right.
You can pick and choose the causes that exist.
Yes, and you can post that, here's, I'm doing this event where I'm going to go and, in my neighborhood, I'm going to go and clean the neighborhood creek or somewhere, right?
Cool.
Then people can come. Somebody recently did something where they have an older woman living in the neighborhood and she cannot take care of her yard. So somebody, one of the other neighbor can create an event that, hey, let's just go this Sunday for a couple of hours and clean up her yard. So it's just restricted to your neighborhood or it can be open to whoever wants to come. And then they can just show up there. So you created an event or a cause, not for fundraising for money, but giving up your time for helping somebody else. So now you found a cause also. Maybe I'm sitting at home. I don't know where to go and volunteer.
Yeah.
I can find a volunteer cause where I can go and if people open that on True Karma, I can go and volunteer there because maybe it's physically close enough for me. I can do that. I can come home, document or log my volunteer hours. I can also log in. If it required driving there, I could log in as a volunteer mileage.
Wow.
So you can log in that I drove these many miles to go and volunteer for this activity. On top of that, you can, if for any reasons, let's say I printed some pamphlets or I took my garbage bags there, you can log that as an expense that I spent this money. And it could be a small amount, but totally through the rest of the year, it quickly adds up. So you could have added up your mileage. You could have added up your hours, your time. You could have added up your expense. I spent $2 for the garbage bag. All those things combined can be sitting in one place. And at the end of the year, when you look at it, that's good karma for you. This is what you did.
Right.
And the expense may or may not go towards your tax. Depends. But we are so focused on the, I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to talk a little bit extra.
Sure. Yeah.
So there are those non-cash donations also. So we talked, so non-cash would be like last year, we, Sandeep Jain, we had this, you know, crazy growth of our plum trees. And they just was giving so much funds that we distributed and our neighbors would look at us and said, don't come again. We don't want any more plums from you. So then what do you do? But in this day and time when there's so much of food insecurity and there are all these food banks or other places where they take these kind of perishable foods because everybody doesn't take those. But we find those and we donated like 50 pounds of plums. And then you can assign a monetary value to that, saying I donated 50 pounds of fruit or whatever. And the market value is, let's say, $3 a pound. Then you could put that in. It's a non-cash. You didn't give cash. But you could assign a cash value. And that's just something to look at.
Yeah, something so, that we good with the goodwill we do, we assign the non-cash value there when you donate something and you can claim on your tax expenses as a donation.
Right.
So this is also a good idea. And it's a great example, by the way, because many of them have not even thought about that this can also go towards where you can get the tax benefits. Right? There is another aspect I would like to touch with the True Karma. There are many scholarship fundings that one can open. For example, in the neighborhood, if you know somebody, some child who is bright, who is looking forward to go to the college, but the family is struggling to gather their education funds, then as a good karma, you can start a campaign for that particular kid. And since it is hosted on the non-profit, again, the donors get the benefit of it. And there is also the visibility that comes with the True Karma, their own users, the dashboards who are they are operating. And also there is a social media sharing and a lot of other interfaces that is inbuilt with the platform, which is right. necessary to have, which many platforms are having. But good to mention here that through that you can absolutely make that campaign viral and reach out to the audience that you think will help you the most.
Yes, that's me.
There is one important aspect actually I'd like to touch base. There is something called as donate now and grant
yes.
later.
Yes.
Maybe you want to elaborate.
Yes. So it happened for us a couple of years ago. We would have ended up paying a little bit extra tax than we wanted to. And we could have saved it by donating, but we had missed that boat.
Who?
The year had ended. So the following year, we set aside that money.
Who?
We didn't know where to donate it. So this aspect is incorporated in True Karma, where you can put aside money and you can claim your benefits on that. That I put aside 10,000 in December. So now it'll go in my 2023, this thing, but I didn't know where it should go to.
Oh.
So it can sit in True Karma. And at some point later, I'm going to go back and tell them, listen, I think 2,000 should go to the Blind Research Association, 5,000 to the lymphoma and cancer, wherever. But I can decide that later. So it's like a wallet where it's I've donated now and it's sitting there and I'm going to give it away later.
Okay.
So that you will not find on other platforms. That's definitely unique.
Right. That is very much unique. I also figured it out. So in the beginning of the year or the quarter, whenever somebody is planning with their finances, this is a good option to look at.
We're trying very hard, and this is what the whole aim is of True Karma is. Doing the right karma, right? So we're trying very hard to... So sometimes people don't have the right idea, so we can suggest to them how to maximize what they can get out of this.
Oh, wonderful. There is another part with the True Karma. I think that feature is still in the development, where there are points that one will get through the whatever good karma that has been done and accumulated. And those points, again, can be reutilized to do something good. So would you like to touch base?
So once you sign up on True Karma, you don't really have to donate or start a fundraiser. But you just sign up and become a user of True Karma. Once you become a user, you log in, you create your profile, and you stay there. And you can do whatever you want to track your volunteer hours or not. But once you are a user, immediately you get some points the minute you become a user. Those are your True Karma points. As you accumulate doing the good deeds that you are doing, as you accumulate those True Karma points, eventually the idea is that once it hits a critical level of a number of points, then those points can be converted into some kind of, I don't think we'll be using them for travel, but they could be used for some, we'll tie up with some other stores. You can maybe... sponsor a backpack. Maybe we'll tie up with some company that produces backpacks or school supplies. And you could donate those points towards the purchase of that backpack that goes towards it. Just it keeps on giving, kind of a thing.
Oh, wonderful. This is a good idea.
Yeah.
It's like recycling your points and making it more good with the collaboration vendors that they want to. So in a way, they are advertising, but at the same time, it is leading to the good efforts, like giving away that particular product to someone, which is where it is needed or something. Getting back to your community service part, at this point, you have decided to work on a path which is most neglected segment right now as an immigrant family is in the United States. We'd like to know what exactly that you're doing and how it is. Because Hindu chapel, I have never heard of that.
Unfortunately, in this country, we don't have local family here. Like versus back home in India, you could always go to your chachi, mami and ask the questions. Here we don't have. So we rely on our friends. Many times there is a social stigma that you don't want to go and share your problems with your friends.
Yeah.
Right? You want to keep it a little secret. So you may want to go to somebody who you think can keep the secret or can really advise at the same time. So that part started this whole idea that a lot of people need this kind of support. So what I started with was, okay, how can I become a Hindu counselor? So that is what I started doing. And from this, it goes on to training to become a Hindu chaplain. So the Hindu chaplains are traditionally the chaplain word was reserved for the army and military, but not so. These days, chaplains are present in the universities, in the not just the temples, hospitals. They can advise you on so many things. So I am training to become a Hindu chaplain, and I think the society needs this. It's interreligious. I will be Hindu chaplain, but I can offer the services of compassion, spiritual care, and answer a lot of current day problems that people face. as in the role of a certified chaplain.
Okay. So would you like to share one example? We don't want to get the details of the people that you have helped, but kind of a overview.
So I'll give you three examples very quick. One was a family that was facing an issue where their child wanted to come out with a different kind of sexuality. In a traditional Hindu family, it's considered very hard to accept. So that family needed counseling and coming to terms. And the family, not just the child, but the parents also needed, the sibling also needed this kind of support and talking it out. Another example was a grief counseling where they did actually go to grief counseling offered through the insurance. But they felt that the culturally we are so different that the advice offered to them was not something they could accept or it didn't help them. So they needed somebody else who could understand where we come from. And yes, just walking away from somebody who's hurt you is not really easy for us. We somehow still have to make up, right? If they're a close family member, you cannot just walk away. So that those part of counseling, grief counseling after loss of a family member and breaking of a family was something that I could offer. Third aspect that I want to share is somebody lost a spouse very abruptly, very suddenly. So yes, there are others who can tell you, hey, where are your, where you look at your bank accounts, make sure this, that, and all those things, but a comprehensive, spiritual, compassionate care that the person needed at that time, where yes, these are important things, and have you planned? If you have not planned, these are the steps you need to do, and because you have done this for your spouse, have you done them for yourself? At very soon, few months down the line, this conversation needs to happen. Did you take care of all these things for yourself? Because this could happen to you also. These are harder conversations to have, especially if the person, the spouse was let go in a hospice care. To let them know when to let go, how to let go, understanding all the and our scriptures about how the soul is immortal and all those. Those are good to read, very hard to practice. But slowly you get the person to a space where they can say goodbye and then plan the life forward. So those are all aspects of Hindu counseling or a chaplain that can be across any religion. Because humans are the same everywhere.
So this is the wonderful part. And I really love those services exist. And then it also gets practiced through the culture that you're coming forward. Is like really something that I was not aware.
Still there are many gaps. There are not many chaplains, Hindu chaplains there. It's a step forward. We're not there yet. But these things exist. Eventually this... somehow, we would like to incorporate this kind of services also in the True Karma. I don't know when, but that is an idea that everything, again, bringing everything at one platform.
Wonderful. Now that we have talked so much about, I think it's time for a rapid fire. Don't think that anybody is judging you. Just be relaxed.
Okay.
Okay. So if you happen to sit in the round table with our president, Mr. Biden, and you were given an opportunity to ask one particular question, what it would be?
I think because I'm so focused on True Karma right now and the nonprofit, my question would be, what is the government going to do in terms of funding and making it more accessible and more trustworthy?
Wonderful. What is that one book you would like to suggest for our audience for this 2024 year?
Bhagavad Gita. It is a totally non-religious book, something that is so practical even today. Every solution is there. And people just have to keep reading it and understanding. Every time you go to it, you'll find something new in it. I think people should read it.
Wow. And who will decode that if people are reading? But
there are so many versions now available in so many languages, so many interpretations of it. And you find one that suits you. There's, I think we got 10 or plus Gitas at our house.
Wow.
So because everything, every book may tell you something different. So you don't have to read the very in-depth or pure Sanskrit. You can read so many different things.
And this is a good aspect and good way to look at the Bhagavad Gita. What is the next word that comes to your mind when we say woman entrepreneur?
Very hardworking, compassionate person who has a lot of empathy. And they can make people work together. I think they can have great teamwork. So I think they're the most hardworking, successful because of their compassion and empathy that men may not have.
Would you like to complete the sentence? If one has to do good, then they must
They must make up their mind. Once they make up their mind, then they hold steady and just keep going. Only then they can be successful.
Wow.
So I would like to ask one great advice question from you.
Mm-hmm.
With the service that you have taken out and the niche that you're working in, especially when the senior age hits or for the senior citizens, what is one advice you would like to give, especially?
Okay. So people my age, I would say, right? And this generation is group of people who have come here a while ago, who have gone through the struggle phase, who have raised their families, gotten them off to a great start, and are now sitting where they're successful financially, emotionally, and every other way. What should they do? So you go back and look at the four ashrams of what we go through. You're not a vanprasthi yet, but you are in the stage where you are not required to be as involved in your grihastha ashram as much, because your children don't need you.
Hmm.
So what do you do with this? This is the time to give back to the society. And the society could be your local society here. It could be any community that you feel needs your support. This is the time to give back, because that is the dharmic way of life. Do it.
Thank you. Thank you, Nandita, for your wisdom. And it was great to host you right now and understand so many aspects. Now we have Sandeep Bhatnagarji, who is a CTO, or the one who has basically technological vision to enhance this platform in a right way, and also solve a lot of challenges that goes in the back end as a crowdfunding platform, starting with the payment processing to keeping the trust with a lot of other challenges. So Sandeepji, first of all, thank you for showing up and taking time out to spare your words.
It's good to be here. Thank you for having me, Pranali.
So Sandeepji, can you explain or mention about what the product was initially, when you found it out and when you found somebody is invested so much of amount and this is what they want to build versus what they should be building? That is one particular vision that you poured in. And after that, not just pouring the vision, but making a very handheld journey for this platform to come to what stage it is right now and even evolve further in a more stronger way.
Yeah, so let me start by saying that I was talking to my CPA a few years back, almost 4 or 5 years back, and he was working with somebody, and the direction of the product that they had in mind was trying to use cryptocurrency. And my take was, this is the wrong direction to go in. You should not be doing this, because from an average user perspective, it's a fairly complicated product. And said, I'd rather go in a different direction and make it easier for the average user to get involved with. Well, long story short, that product did not take off, fortunately or unfortunately for them. And they were about to shut it down when he and I were talking, and I said, well, hold it. Let me take a look at it and see how we can do something with this product. So I took a look at that, and then we pivoted. We started using that platform for storing our volunteer activities, like Nandita mentioned, expenses, the volunteering hours. And then as that started going along, we reached out to the IRS database and found a data source of close to 1.6 million registered charities with them, which we have incorporated in our system as well. So you can look into that. And these are charities which are genuine, because they're registered with the IRS. And since we had that, we said, how about starting our own fundraisers? So these were all gradual steps, but eventually we have reached a state where we can now host events to support fundraisers or causes. We host fundraisers. We have charities that you can bookmark as your favorites and donate to them. You can even choose to volunteer for those charities that you like. And we added features like supporting employer match through Benevity, CyberGrant, and other forums. And of course, we generate excellent reports that you could use for tracking your donations, etc. Any donations made on the platform directly, they are directly recorded, but you can also record donations that you made outside of the platform.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Offline donations.
Offline donations also. We could do both.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So what was a technical challenge that you faced when you were beginning out this particular platform?
Well, I had to make do with what was already existing. So we started off with that. And then I've always been a fairly hands-on product guy and a technical guy, having led worked solution and enterprise architects for several years. So this kind of comes naturally to me. How do you evolve a product, make it so user-friendly that the user doesn't see what's happening behind the scenes? So we change a lot behind the scenes, but the experience has been maintained as very transparent to the user. But for the nerdy, it is all in the cloud. We are using Amazon. All your data is PCI and PII compliant, meaning that it is encrypted. We do not store any credit card information on our side. We use payment gateways that are known for their desire to be very secure. And there is a lot of bells and whistles behind the scenes.
Wow. And right now, what is the most technical or even otherwise, like visibility-wise or whatever, like what is that challenge that TrueKarma is facing today, and what type of help or solutions that you're looking forward from the existing users or the future users, like, that can solve this problem?
I think from a feature perspective, I'd say the platform is very stable. It has all the features which any other platform offers. We have added a lot more. In fact, I don't think there's a single platform which offers all these in one single location. We are in the process of adding the feature where somebody could have his or her own contact, and they could then invite those people directly to events or to fundraisers. There's, of course, employer match, which is already there. Our biggest challenge right now is the marketing aspect of it, that how do we reach more people? I think that a lot of companies that are, or entities that are in this kind of field, they face that. We have a very small or diligent marketing team, and we are making a good headway in that. Our numbers have increased almost like 400% over the last 3 months. And I'm hoping that by the end of maybe the second quarter of 2024, we will have achieved our goals wherever we want to be in this year.
Oh, wow.
So let's see.
Wow, good luck with that.
Thank you.
And currently the platform is capable of handling how many users at a time, or campaigns or whatever, like the big active projects, I could say.
There is no limit to that because we are a scalable product. It is all in the cloud. Everything is scalable, has always been built that way, that as the number of requests start going up, more instances will be added automatically. So it will be scaled up, scaled down as the need be. So I think we should be okay with that.
Okay.
We tested it out sometime last year where there was an urgent fundraiser that had to be raised to support somebody for a mishap in the family. And within a couple of weeks, we were able to raise almost 400,000 plus, and it scaled extremely well. There were no kinks in that, and it just worked like a charm, or like a well-oiled machine, as I like to say. It was very heartening to see your design work like that.
Yeah.
So felt good. Yeah.
So right now, is this only open to the project for the fundraising, which is only in the United States, or do you have plans to expand it where the other countries' foundations also can leverage TrueKarma?
So we can set up fundraisers for any country. I'll take that back. Instead of any country, there are some countries which the US does not allow sending funds to. I think that's part of the OFAC list. So as long as the fundraiser is not in one of those countries, it can be set up here. The money can be sent over there. The receiving entity has to make sure that their government allows them to receive the funds.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what is that one-liner message you'd like to appeal to our audience?
I think this platform has everything that you're looking for. So go for it. Give it a shot. If you see something missing, reach out to us. We'd love to interact and add that feature there.
There is one interesting fact when we were discussing offline about many other crowdfunding platforms versus TrueKarma, that many for-profit crowdfunding platforms that are available, they put a certain threshold of collecting the funds and taking out the funds, withdrawing the funds. If you don't withdraw the fund at certain threshold date that is being stated, and there is no period of what you say, like the extended period that is allowed, or the late period that is allowed to take the funds or withdraw, then that money is absolutely lost. Then the beneficiary, the campaign holder, the creator, or whoever it is, are supposed to take out the funds. I mean, if they haven't. So there are like different angles to it. One, the bank account was not put forward. That's why the money was not withdrawn automatically or whatever. And then there was some manual process that was needed to be done. And in this case, there have been incidences that such funds have been lost totally. So is there anything that you have done to overcome this limitation in the TrueKarma, and how does that really work to build a trust with the user?
So I think the reason that happens is because there is normally a limit set by the payment gateways within which you have to return the money. It's, I think, normally about 180 days. And I could be wrong on that, but that is what my understanding is. So that is why a lot of these fundraisers state that within 180 days, if you do not withdraw, they will return the money or that money will not be available to you. Now, there are scenarios where, let's say, somebody passes in the family, the spouse is not able to access the account because it is not set up in the right way, and then it becomes an issue. So how do you transfer the money? Normally, these funds go to an account. Right. So since we actually validate or make sure that the fundraisers are vetted in a very good way, we can work with the organizers to circumnavigate that, make sure that the funds reach the family in some way. We could also offer a trust set up within True Karma that could be given to the family at a later stage when they have overcome all these nuances of the banks and they have access to some account. But these are things that we could work around and definitely work with the organizer or the beneficiary in some way to make sure it works for them.
So since you establish a trust, then that money is not being tax applicable, right? I mean, that is, they also get that benefit as beneficiary.
Okay. Yeah, they do.
Okay, so this is actually a good to have part that many people don't understand, especially like we know like all the money that you have to pass through, either you pass through trust to, you know, eliminate that tax bracket on the amount that you get through. So many of us as a family, we do that. But when certain bad things happen or some unfortunate things happen, and for those unfortunate things, if you are gathering the funds and you are taking it in your own account as an individual, in this case, this is, I think it's a very huge benefit that one will get through. Otherwise, there is a lot of intricate details that your CPA has to work through to make sure that this is not getting towards the tax, right? And it is like ultimately, you're making it very easy transaction for the third person.
I mean, but that True Karma was founded by people who were doing my taxes. So there are CPAs involved with this. They help behind the scenes in a very good way. So it's good to have that. In fact, I think Nandita mentioned about donate now, grant later functionality as well. That's again on a similar lines. The fund that is donated is set aside in a trust till you decide who to donate that to. And then it is donated over there as well.
Yeah. Wonderful. So it's a very good example when I see it, both of you, that one is totally driven for the community. She's very active and doing a lot of things. You're like technically very efficient and working and still connected with the community. You are also a part of a big community service that I know. And along with that, when certain problems arises, you navigated it in a very good way that eventually it will do good. So you need not have to start now that I need to get something that is established as my brand or whatever. Like, you know, many people now into that race. So it's a very good and a subtle example that any point of the age, with your own experiences and the skill sets at that point, there are ways where you can still do much better and much larger than you can think about. And I'm so great to see these examples living and living around me. And I could get them on the camera just to talk about. And it's a great story to look at any point of time, any stage of your life, there are problems that will hit, but there are always solutions that you can navigate. And for that, you have to very much hone on to your experiences, skills, and the intentions behind it. If the intentions and the skills and everything can come together at one sweet point, just have to march the journeys that just come along. And it's a, this is what I could take from the whole Bhatnagar family. They do a lot of things, but this is one standout example where the challenges that they have navigated through so many years have now, they are serving the challenges, removing those barriers and making sure that such limitless product can make people's life easy.
I hope it does, and I hope people get to experience it and give us their feedback on it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll ask you one surprise question that one of our podcast community member has shared with us. The lady who shared the question is from the Silicon Valley. Her name is Maithili. And she, I mean, there are many who have given us a lot of questions. I've just picked one because this was probably relevant to the part that we were discussing. So I've picked that one for you. If you were given $10 million today, how will you utilize it? What you will do with that?
From a true karma perspective, I think there's so much that we could do. There are so many things this fund could be used for. Setting up, like, today is a World Orphanage Day, for example. And not many people are aware of that. It's basically for orphans who are coming out of war. So this is for them. Something could be done for them. There could be something that could be done for setting up scholarship funds for students, making sure that some of them go to the college for the first time in their family. At the same time, there are a lot of schools in underprivileged areas where this money could come in very, very handy, giving them the facilities in school, making sure that computers are available there, internet is available for them. And students in those schools or in those areas should have the same opportunity as, say, somebody in Silicon Valley does. Hmm. So I think that would be a good thing to use that fund for.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you for that answer and opening up on the areas where people can contribute back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now that we have come to the end, I would still like to ask you one more advice question for our audience. So the audience is sitting there and thinking that one day that they'll have some tech startup, one day that they'll have some big idea to take it further and enlarge it, whatever the impact that individual wants to create. What is the advice you would like to give to that entrepreneur mindset?
I think everybody wants to have a startup or start a company to basically make money. That's what most people think. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, the idea of business is to make money. You could make money doing anything you like. But the startups that are successful are normally ones which are helping remove or fill a genuine need. But if you see that there's a gap somewhere in your daily life, do something in that area that could help you and somebody else who's experiencing the same thing. So if you do that, I think that is something which will definitely click and that will help people.
Wow.
Yeah. That's my personal opinion. I could be wrong, but that's just me.
Personifying the problems and finding that right solution.
Yeah, if you find a gap that is not there and people are experiencing difficulty in their regular life, try to solve that problem.
Wonderful. And what is that one problem that you see in the nonprofit section of operating the businesses that needs to be solved in terms of sustainability or whatever it is?
That's a difficult one. In my view, the problem that I have foreseen over here is, one, again, reaching out to people. Not everybody has a good social network. And oftentimes people, when they are hit with mishaps or something goes wrong, they don't know who to reach out to. So I think that is something that as a group, we would like to help out. So like just this morning, I was talking to a couple of orphanages and talking to them about how we could create some funds for people who are there. Some of the orphans who are there could be set up some scholarship funds for them. So something like that, if we could reach out to people in need, before they realize that it is too late, I think that's a good thing to do.
I think that is the overall segment problem exists. Great.
That's it.
And how the business for the True Karma works, I mean, because there are no fees for the nonprofit at all, the whole donation goes towards the beneficiary. Also certain causes, there is absolutely no fees charged. I mean, there is optional tipping that is available. But otherwise, how the True Karma is looking forward to sustain when you're solving so many sustainability problems around the world, how in an actual, as a back-end team, as an operating team, there are so many efforts individuals are putting. There is a team who is actually working on the platform to be stronger and make sure that there is no gap in order to fall this off. So how that problem you're solving or how this is going to work?
it's not an easy thing to do. I mean, fortunately for us, our team is very, very tight-knit and very small team. I was able to work with a team that has been with us for quite some time. It's based out of India. So there is a low cost. They have been also very good with us in the sense that their rates, they've kept very low because we are a non-profit. And then whatever expenses we have incurred, fortunately, Nandita and I have been in a position to take care of that. We don't have any other major responsibilities. The kids are out of the house. So it's just the two of us. So far, things have worked out well. We are hoping that, I mean, now that we have reached a critical mass, there have been some offers. Some people have come forward and have offered to partner with us and collaborate with us. That decision is still pending, so that I think the board will make a decision on that later this year. But as of now, I think our expenses are very limited. One, because we are a nonprofit. I think I've been able to negotiate some good deals with a lot of our vendors. So that has worked out well. But I'm hoping that this year turns out to be good. We should have some good collaborators coming on board, and let's see where this takes us.
Yeah, but more or less, as the platform grows, you're still making sure that the experience for the end user remains the same.
Yes.
And those are the fees that you don't want to incur or add it as an overburden to the platform or the platform users.
Yeah. So our intent is still that the donors will never have to pay any extra fees.
Yeah.
They'll continue to just pay the payment gateway fees, which is still reduced for nonprofits. And any contributions that they decide to make for True Karma will always be optional.
Yeah.
For event organizations, if there are paid events, we offer both paid and free events, and public and private events as well. So if there are paid events, there is a very nominal fees which True Karma platform does charge, and that is something that we can negotiate for companies that are hosting regularly, like 4 or 5 events a year on our platform or more. We could work with them to make sure it is very, very reduced.
So basically, you can give the package deal for the project owners.
Yes.
If they are like committed to do certain number of projects with them.
But I can assure you that even for a single event, it will be much, much, much reduced compared to any other platform or most of the popular platforms around today.
Okay. That's wonderful to know. And looking at this intention, I'm sure the audience, whoever is looking forward to host their events, their project fundings, scholarship funds, or any family who's in need of help and they're looking forward for the help, then those are like certain big projects or very instant that where you're looking forward for the help, you will use the True Karma. And of course, a lot of foundations who are into the nonprofit world who are looking to raise the sustainability cost for their organizations, they can also be there. I mean, of course, there are many big portals that True Karma is paired up, like Benevity and
Cyber Grant.
So I think most of the charities you should find. And if there is none, then you can, of course, ask your employer to be there. And with the True Karma, there are many gateways where you can bring those organizations on the portal for employer match. And don't forget on your volunteering experiences to be recorded. Towards the end of the year, you might want to encash those from your corporates if you are in the corporate segment. Or if you're someone who wants to design the life where certain number of hours you want to donate it for the volunteering. And right now you're not at a stage where you can go around and find out what is that. That is where also True Karma can help you. So overall, it's a very wholesome idea. This platform has come into the life and I'm sure it will benefit a lot of users who are looking out to do good karma.
I hope so. Yeah. I'll just add one last word that if you're just tracking the hours for volunteering or expenses, and a lot of people don't know that companies like Benevity often use that for employer match, and they could convert that into dollars, which could be donated to your favorite cause or charities as well. So just something to keep in mind.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think this was overlooked facts. Maybe they exist, we don't know about it.
Yeah.
So the bigger corporation, like mostly Fortune 500 and even bigger, like after certain number of employees in the company, many of them use Benevity more often. And these are like some of the hours that you can donate in a way, like it's like a non-cash. And also there is a stock donation option that is available as a non-cash.
We do. So we do offer non-cash options as a donation option as well. Currently it is limited to stocks. But so yes, you could donate your stocks or other similar investment tools for donation as well.
Wow. So I think it's a good platform, and let us know how that platform works out for you. Don't forget to mention how this show has turned out to be. Have you enjoyed it? Have you learned something new from this particular episode? Do you see that such coming up episodes have benefited and will benefit our community? If so, definitely write to us.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Hello, Passionate Pulse listeners. Pranani here, your host. Are you a business owner looking to amplify your brand's reach? Or maybe you know an expert who deserves the mic? This is your moment. Advertise with us or recommend a fascinating guest for our podcast. Unlock the airwaves and connect with Bay Area enthusiasts. dial at 341-209-0102 and let's make your story roar. Passionate Pulse Podcast, where your tales ignite. Call us now at 341-209-0102. Let's champion the spirit of positive change together.